Let's go ahead and read John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. We can read this together. Amen.
Do not love the world, or the things in the world. Amen. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Do not love the world.
Amen.
All things in the world.
Yes. Amen.
Anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. It was good yesterday. I very much enjoyed the word that was shared in that regarding the matter of the one commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, right? Again, this was the commandment. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden ye may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil ye shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you will shall surely die." Right. And in light of this verse, I was considering even more this morning or last night this morning regarding the matter of the world. This whole world, this cosmos, is a system designed by Satan to trap and prevent man from doing God's will. And it is really built upon this tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you consider all the things of the world that man has created, it's clear, man did not create life, but what he created are things that could be used for good, and the exact same thing could be used to be for evil. And ultimately, everything that man has created would lead us to what? To death. And this is the end result of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the same way, it was said, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, very subtle description of the tree, because behind it is the source is what? Satan, the devil, and it is death. And we should realize regarding the matter of the world, this is Satan's system to entrap man from doing the will of the Father. We already know that the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one. This is later on in 1 John. We know that Satan is the ruler of this world. And he even promised if he would give you the whole world if you would bow down and worship him. And James warns us that if we make friends with the world, what happens? We become an enemy of God. Right? So everything of this world today, we should realize already that it is geared to bring us ultimately to death. But actually, the real ultimate issue is it will prevent us from doing the Father's will. So the question that we've been asking all conference, do we choose life or do we choose death? And so when it comes to the matter of the world, do we, as John say, do not love the world and the things in the world? Because this is the choice, life or death. Right. You know, the matter of the world, I still remember when we were getting into this matter in Fountain Valley, we thought one weekend was good enough, but we realized it was not, one weekend was not enough, 2 weekends was not enough. We even talked about that we should have a conference even on the matter of the world, of what is this world. And even after 3 weekends, we realized there's still other areas that we never could think that this would be Satan's snare for all of us. Right? As I was considering, right, there's too many things that we could talk about, but there are some specific areas that I know in our lives, in the church life here, I think we're all faced with this, that things that we think are good, we may not realize that is a subtle and a hidden trap that Satan has designed for all of us to prevent us from doing the will of the Father. Right? Of course, the material world. Right? We all need to make money. Yeah? So in order to live on this earth, we have to take care of that. We all need to go to school, look for jobs, find a good job, negotiate for a good salary. But all of these things can become a distraction. Right? Oftentimes, when I'm talking to the saints, we're talking about what's happening on the job, all the different things that are issues, and in the end, if we let those issues consume us, it leads us to where? To death. And we are distracted and we missed the point. And, of course, you're making money because you want financial security. So, some are into financial planning, right? I think this is a good question that people have always asked, especially with the uncertainty of the economy. Emmanuel, you were introduced to investment 101, right? Did you gain a lot of knowledge? Yeah. What to invest in and what not to invest in, right? And if you allow this knowledge to consume you, eventually it will distract you. It'll bring in stress, especially if you're putting in a short sale, right? You learned about shorts, right? He knows more things about stock than we all do. But if you get consumed in it, and you're focused on trying to make the largest return on investment, eventually you will get distracted and you will be consumed. That's why the Lord said in Matthew, you cannot serve two masters, mammon and God. These things are very easily distracting us. Family life. It's great to see, right? In all the churches, everyone is raising up families. Right? We have two here. Praise the Lord. But you know, as noble it is to raise up good children, that in and of itself consume and distract us from doing the will of the Father. As any parent, we want our kids to have the best. We want to make sure they have the best house, clothes, education. Right? You're studying hard, James, so you can go to U of T, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? And your parents are working hard so they make sure they have enough financial means to support you at U of T, right? Right? But these things can also distract us. I used to hear, I can't spend time with the Lord because finals week is coming up. I need the entire weekend to study for finals. Oh, you need all 72 hours, waking hours, 72 hours to study for finals. Is that how you study, Thomas? No. Right? Sometimes. Right. But these things can really distract us. And what you might not realize is not only does it distract us in our time like this, but what education is promoting and putting into our children today is absolutely pure evil. While we're busy trying to get our kids to the best schools, the schools are indoctrinating, brainwashing our children. Just recently, my nephew, we were told, he told me, they asked him very, very, as he would describe, very gross, sickening questions on a survey labeled Healthy Kids. And the first question is, what gender are you? And it wasn't just two choices, four choices. Just four. They didn't list the rest of the 26 options, right? Right. These things are already being programmed into the curriculum. This education, the best university you want to go to, is already programming you to not only take your time away from the Lord, but to retrain you in thinking that there's more than two genders. Right. I still remember talking to BJ, right? You were telling me, Monday through Friday, you hear one thing in the school, and then on the weekend, you hear 180 degrees opposite to what they tell you at school, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And this is at a good university. Right? Do not underestimate what we consider as good in the world if we feed on it, right? And this is just the material system, but what about, have you considered the world as the religious part of the world? Right? First John, Peter, they've been warning us of the false teachers, false prophets, lying to God's people. It was already brought up. We had a conversation with this brother, with this chart, to share with this brother regarding the matter of there's not one rapture, and there's not just one judgment, but actually, if you look carefully in the scripture, there are three raptures and three judgments. Right. But this religious system, especially in America, where you say, the entire church, all of God's believer will be raptured and not go through the great day of God's wrath. This is the pervasive lie being spread. And you don't need to get ready. God's going to take you anyways. You have received salvation. God will rapture you. Right? But we should realize, the more we hear this as we talk to different Christians, in some ways, that can influence even our own thinking. Right? The Lord is speaking to us today how close His return is. Then, the events in 2020 did not go away according to our concept, our thinking. And how did that affect us? Did we then allow the thinking of the world to creep in? Oh, the Lord is delaying His time? Or do we go back to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, did we miss something? Show us. To seek the Lord, to find out from the Lord. Right? I still have some who even told me, you know, especially in the matter of preparing to be first fruits, they would tell me, John, don't try so hard to be a first fruit. Don't you know if you just love Jesus and you preach the gospel, you'll be taken anyways? And kings and priests, that's not important. And this kind of speaking amongst mainstream Christianity, if we're not aware, if we're not discerning, it could influence us in a passive way, such that when things don't go what we think should go, we would lose our intensity to prepare for His coming. Right? We become dull. We become ignorant to that. And then in technology, this is something that we even addressed in one of our gospel presentations. Today, what is on the rise? Artificial intelligence, AI, ChatGPT. Right? It's actually pretty good, pretty useful tool. Because this is something, when I was working before, our goal was to bring information at your fingertips. That was talked about as early as 1992. But now, in 2023, that same company is releasing ChatGPT in the commercial environment. And it's going to be built into anybody who uses their PCs. Into the next version of Windows 11. And you can basically ask it anything and it will bring back what you need to know. It's good if you're looking for things that you need to buy or you need to find out some facts of information, things like that. But this also can become a replacement. I remember Sarah was telling one of the new ones, if you have a question in the Bible, don't go to ChatGPT. Go to the Lord. Because He is the source of life. But you know, it's too easy. You know all those books in that library over there, in this other room? All of that is online. And all you have to do is consult with ChatGPT. And give me a tell me all about whatever in the Bible, and it will come back. It's gotten to a point where some of you may have already read, there are churches using ChatGPT, not just to write the messages or the sermons for the pastors, but they use avatars to speak the sermon to the whole congregation. You laugh, but it really is going on right now. The avatar would sit there, give a nice sermon to the people, and would even lead them in the singing and in the verse reading and in the prayer. Everything is done for you through ChatGPT. They're even trying to come out with a replacement for God using artificial intelligence. Don't fall into this trap, brothers and sisters. We have to realize this is a serious warning. John is saying, do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If we feed on this world and depend on all of the good things of this world, eventually we will become lovers of the world, and you don't even realize it because the tools are so good. Everything is so quote, quote, good, and that is the snare of the devil, right? And this is why John said, for all that is in the world, now, so far I've just talked about things that are outside before us, but John is saying, all that is in the world, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It means the world is right within us. This is us.
Can you minus all the time?
It's our flesh. It's the lust of the flesh. Right? We have this desire, this lust in our flesh, and our eyes feeds it. What we see, what we read, even our ears, what we hear will feed the lust of the flesh. And ultimately, the pride of life. I appreciate in what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'll read this to you. This gives a more descriptive condition of man today and what is in our hearts. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, and lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God." The generation that we live in today, more than ever, as I talk to people, look at the situation, it's all about being lovers of ourselves. This is what drives the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Because we are lovers of ourselves. This is our condition, brothers and sisters. And if we continue to partake of the tree of knowledge, then we will feed the love of ourselves. But especially now, this last phrase, the lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God. The big concern that we all have today is, and it's about comfort, it's about enjoyment of life, it's about the pleasures of life. Right? Yeah. Today, I think everybody, materialistically speaking, are fine. Right? And everything seems to be normal. Everything seems to be healthy. But we may not realize that just living in a peaceful bubble, the enemy could come in to trap you, to thinking that everything is okay. To the point where everything is okay, that we don't do the will of the Father. Right? Not saying that at this point that we need to be like monks living in a monastery. No. We still live in this world today. We have to still take care of our jobs. Right? We have to take care of all the things that have been given to us. That's why also I enjoy being reminded in 1 Timothy chapter 3 how we could still live in this world and choose life. Amen. From the Father. Right? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, and having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" Right. We have to learn to live a life to do the will of the Father. And this description is the life that has been given to us. It's the life as we partake of. If we abide in Him, when we abide in Him, when we walk in the truth, when we walk in the light, this life will be manifested, as was what Paul wrote to Timothy. Right? This description is what our lives should already be like as we live in this world. Right? Not to love the world, because why? The world is passing away, and the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Right? Is this what we want? We all want life, right? And we all want to reach the goal, right? We want to be those who do the will of God to abide forever, right? So, this is the choice that we have today, brothers and sisters. John is very strong. It says, do not love the world. Just like what was shared yesterday, right? God commanded, do not partake, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. John is telling us, do not love the world or the things in the world. Because ultimately, the world is passing away. Time is short. The Lord is coming soon. And everything that we're working for, everything that we're doing in this world will pass away. So what do we choose? What do we choose? Right? We want to choose life. We want to choose to do the will of the Father. And may we, as we live this life, we would love the Father. So praise the Lord. Thank you for this sobering word. May we all wake up to realize the enemy has something very subtle that we might not even know to ensnare us and to trap us. The last verse I wanted to read was in Luke chapter 21, verse 34. It says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down from the carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, that the day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. May we not fall into this trap. May we all be watchful, praying always, right, that the Lord would give us this discernment, not to love this world, but to love the Father.
Amen.
And to do His will.
Amen.
And by this, we will be perfected. And when He comes, we will be like Him.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not easy to talk about this topic. Even if we talk about it, it doesn't mean that it will be reasonable to choose the right thing. This is why it's very difficult. And John didn't say a lot of words there, just a few verses. And it's perhaps good enough. Love not the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If I change it, love not the devil. You say, of course I don't love the devil. Do you love the devil? You want to love the devil? But if I say, do not love the world. Oh, the world is not all that bad, okay? That's right, Elizabeth is going to tell me, why not? But then John at the very end says, the whole world lies not in, only in the sway. The sway means what?
Influence.
The influence. But it's not only the influence. It's fully in his hand. Lies in the evil one. He invented it to trap you. So if you love the world, then the love of the Father definitely will not be in you. You might say, I believe in God. And I still love God. Don't you love God? But I also love the world. 50% for God. Oh, okay, let's 70% for God. And 30% for the world. Is that good enough? The result will be the 70%. As time goes by, we'll go down to 50%. And 50% will go down to 25%. You know, at the end, you just believe in God, but you don't love Him. So the love is go down to minus 1%. What is the meaning of the word lust? It's another word for love. Except it's on the negative side. The negative love is lust, but both are love. But a proper love is your relationship. You love your parents, right? Is it positive or negative?
Positive.
But you also love to be a billionaire. That means you're not satisfied with having enough.
Yeah.
You want more and more after you make your thousands. Then you want to add another zero. Remember, what you add is a zero. What does zero mean? Zero plus zero plus zero equals?
Zero.
Zero. You're right. We're not satisfied with what we have. We want more, more, and more. And this is the lust you desire. Right. The word love is proper, but the word lust is out of the sinful nature that is in us. And it's connected with the eyes. Right? What you see will stir up the lust. I want that. And then I want a better one. And I want the best one. It'll never stop. And the more that lust, if you feed the lust, the more you will lose your love for the Father. It's a competition. You remember, and you should know, the whole principle behind it is there's a warfare going on between God and Satan and the devil. You know, God could have just destroyed him. But he didn't want to do that. Before the foundation of the world, he wants men to take over the dominion in this world, to rule for God. And Satan knew that. Satan knew that. So when God created man, he is not going to say, Satan, you're out. I'm going to put you in the lake of fire right away. And there won't be any trouble, right? But that's not God's plan and God's way. Satan is, in a way, useful. There is a challenge, because God gave you a free will. And how is God going to help you to choose correctly? If God gave you the free will, then to choose what? So there are two trees there. And the whole warfare in this universe is between God and Satan, and that object is you. That's why you have the book of Job. You remember Job? Have you ever read it? How many times? At least once. Right. And why is it there? Because God and Satan, there is a challenge going on. And Satan joined the conference. Amazing. God didn't say, "You're out. Disqualified. You can't join this conference." He was even accepted. "Oh, where did you come from, Satan?" Satan says, "Well, going to and fro the world." Going to and fro? Going what? Just taking a walk? What was he doing? Seeking whom he may devour. So God says, "Well, you're very busy there. Have you ever noticed my servant Job?" "Of course," Satan says, "of course. But he loves you because you blessed him so much."
Yeah.
Well, that is blasphemy against God. So what did God say? "What is it to you if I want to bless him?" Did he say that? So what did he say?
"All that he has is in your
hand." Yes.
"Only do not lay a hand on his person."
Wow. Because the life is very important. His life. Keep him alive. Don't take his life. But you can take everything away from him. That's the challenge. If all of these things were taken away, do you think he will still love you, God? That was the challenge. So what did God say? "Well, just take 50% away from him." 75. Just leave 20% for him, and that's good enough, right? Or suppose God took away everything from you, Jasmine. Will you still love him? Ah, you say, "What did I do that you take all these things away from me?" You will blame God. You will blame God. It's a big challenge. It's really a challenge. And you have to see this. A challenge between God and the devil, and you are that object. Who is going to win? You. And all these material things, and this is what Satan is saying. If I take all of these things away, the blessing, a good, nice car,
even health,
even a nice family, a good wife, not a nagging wife. If God takes away the nagging wife, you say, "Praise the Lord." But all the good things there. Right, all the good things. So the challenge now is, you love the world or you love God? What if God takes it away from you? Right. And it happened. Praise the Lord. At the end, who won?
God.
Praise the Lord. God won. But how many Job do you think there are on this world? Even among us believers. Yeah. All those apostles, Peter, James, John, and Philip, and Nathaniel, and all these, when the Lord calls them, did they say, "Lord, wait a minute, I can't give up my fishing business"? Maybe part-time, how about that? How about part-time? What does that do? Huh? Slowly, gradually? Wow. But it was called by God. I don't mean you should give up your job today, okay? Please don't do that. Without God telling you and calling you. But when God calls you, are you willing to drop it? This is a challenge. This is really a challenge. Can't you be that and serve God at the same time? Well, this is our human way. But a world there is not created by God. God created the heavens and the earth. And with all this wonderful nature and everything that is good for you to live in. But we won't be satisfied. We want a nice car. Especially here in the States. Even if they go to grocery stores around the corner, they drove instead of walking. It's more convenient. And then it's not just driving, but you have to drive a Mercedes. Mercedes. Right. We are never satisfied. And this is the problem, because the lust has no bottom. It's a bottomless pit. The more you have, the more you want to have. You're never satisfied. This is the really challenge today in this world. So the Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, do not be anxious. And you cannot serve two masters. That doesn't mean that you have nothing. No, the Lord will take care of your need. But I want more than what I need. That is the problem. It's not enough if I have no need, but I don't have superabundance. Not just abundance, but superabundance. And I want to have a big account just in case something happened. But you know, one day if something happens, all your money will have wings and fly away. Yeah. And one day everything is going to be gone. Because the Lord will judge this world. So what would you have left? But, you know, what happened to Job? At the end, he became a poor guy. Huh?
7 times.
He became a beggar. Having nothing. What happened? You must be in the book of Job, right? Oh, yeah, please. Let's go to the last chapter. Read to us, Sarah.
And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends.
Wow.
Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before.
Wow. Keep on. What did Job say?
Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. Mm. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys.
Wow.
He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters.
Wow.
And should I keep going?
But what did Job say to the Lord? Before that,
I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which
too
I do not know.
Too wonderful for me, which I do not know.
Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you.
I like that verse. Read it again.
I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now eye sees you.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Now you really knew God. Amen. And if you know God, God will really bless you, but not with material things. You know why? Because the material things will ruin you. Yeah. Don't feed the lust of the eyes. Right. But God will bless you as the coming of our Lord. Oh my, you're going to inherit the earth. Isn't that how many times more than what you have today? Many times, and you will rule over the nations. You'll be co-kings with him, because Christ is going to inherit all things, the whole universe, and you will be co-heirs together with Christ. So the Lord promised during his time on this earth to the disciples, if you leave father and mother and house and all these, you will gain 100 times more. Because, you know, Peter, right? You think Peter was very spiritual at that time? He says, no. So he says, Lord, we left everything, so what do we have? What are you going to give us? But, he's still thinking in that way. But the Lord is going to give you so many things you even do not realize today. Yeah. And you don't have any lack today, do you? James? You were new King James. I hope you will not be old King James. Do you have any lack today? No, you don't have any lack. None of us here have any. But we're not satisfied with that because of the desire in our heart to have more. But if you love God, first of all, God will really take care of you. That's his promise.
Amen.
That's why he said, look at the birds. They don't toil. Do you know of any bird who had a job? And desire to have a better job? No. Look, but God fits them. God fits them. Right? And then the Lord says, how much more worth are you like a sparrow? You think God will not take care of you? If you take care of him, he will take care of you. That's for sure. That for sure. Right? But it doesn't mean that he's going to make you a billionaire. If you become a billionaire, you may be like Bill Gates. You like to be like Bill Gates?
No.
Not anymore. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're out of Microsoft?
Absolutely.
Because your boss will be Bill Gates.
Right.
But we have a Heavenly Father who owns everything. He's the creator of heavens and the earth, and he's our maker. And he's our Heavenly Father. We are his children. And you love your children? Well, how about you? So, what are you going to give your children? A penny a day? No, you give them whatever they need. All that a father has is given to his son. Right. And the son is one with the father. So, do not worry. What you need to take care of, all of us, is the love for our God and Father. Amen. And let this love increase, and not just a little bit, but with your whole heart. Because if that other guy gain a little part of that, it's going to grow, and the love of the Father will become less. So you make a choice. Do not love the devil. If anyone loves the devil, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And the devil equals the world. Praise the Lord. And I hope this word will encourage, especially our dear young people, and all of us, even us old folks. Don't think the old folks are different. Right. So, may the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
Amen. And only this life will help us.
Yes. Amen.